Careers, climbing the career ladder.
Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. In this episode, we're looking at one of the top 40 women in the world. Her name is Chelsea Lau. She's the chief designer for Ford Motor Company.
Chelsea Lau is the chief designer of Ford's Design Strategic Concepts Group in Shanghai. Her job is it to define the car company's design of the future. Her career is truly a female success story in a male-dominated industry. Chelsea grew up on Lantau Island near Hong Kong, where she used to get out her crayons and display her pictures in her parents' restaurant. Few guests realized that this little girl with a love for form and color would one day design cars for millions of people worldwide and become one of the style icons of China's booming automotive industry. Chelsea found her 20-year vocation in car design when she was offered a rare internship at Ford's Detroit headquarters while studying at the Lee Wai Lee Technical Institute in Hong Kong. Chelsea joined Ford in 1992 with a personal design philosophy to draw inspiration from nature to achieve unique design elements. For instance, she regularly attends fashion shows across the world to draw inspiration for upcoming trends to work into her car designs. She has earned a lot of praise for her designs. The New York Times saw her among the top 40 world's excellent females in 2011. She also earned the title 25 of Hong Kong's most inspiring and influential women by the South China Morning Post in 2012. And the Hong Kong Design Center named Lau the world's outstanding Chinese designer of 2006. Chelsea Lau graduated from Lee Wai Lee Technical Institute in Hong Kong and subsequently from Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California.
Chelsea, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Hi, Shane. It's my pleasure to be here with all of you today.
It's quite exciting. I mean, I think it's a dream of, I mean, every kid, especially the young boys, grow up playing with cars and dreaming of cars, and that sometimes doesn't change as they grow older as well. How did you get involved in such a sexy profession as designing the automobile?
Yeah, it all started at a very young age. In my family, my brother and I are always interested in art, and my parents, they really encourage us to pursue that during our high school, and we learn painting. I actually furthered my education in California Art Center College of Design, and where they specialize in transportation design. And during school, I happened fortunate to work with a Ford Motor Company as an intern. And after I graduated, my career just started.
But it must not be so many Chinese students that get a chance to study in the U.S. You must have had very good grades.
I think I'm okay, but it's really the passion and then all the artistic training, the strong foundation that really helped me to, develop my career.
You came into the U.S., and then what happened when you joined Ford Motor Company? Because by many stretch, Detroit's kind of dying out a little bit, but for you, it was kind of a career milestone.
Yes, actually, we have a very, very comprehensive program called the Ford College Graduate Training, and we have opportunity to work in different studio from interior, exterior, concept vehicle. So that's a very, very thorough training. And then they get a chance for us to understand what are our strength and area of interest.
So that's where you kind of really found your passion. So up until that point, did you have a vision of who you wanted to be or what you wanted to do?
Somehow, when I'm very, very young, I know I want to pursue a career with art or design related. Not exactly know it's about car design, but have this little vision or picture in my mind. I said, I don't care what I will be doing. Someday I need to go to Paris, and then I need to, if I have to do portrait to earn my living, earn my way through. But somehow, I ended in doing car. That's great.
You were dreaming of Paris, and you ended up in Detroit. It's a bit of a difference.
from the training of doing the art, painting, really training the hands and the eyes coordination. And in Hong Kong, and after high school, I actually study product design. That's really taking that artistic background, and then for us to get a chance to materialize our design and into something three-dimensional, a product, that was exciting. And product design is part of the industrial design, a bigger family, so does automotive design.
Will Smith said that a lot of people don't know the difference between talent and skill, and talent's, you know, what God has given you or what your naturally innate level is, but skill is what you get from routinely, almost religiously working on that talent day in and day out. Do you think that a lot of people don't really differentiate between these two, and don't, that perhaps maybe young people coming up now aren't paying enough attention to developing their skill versus relying on their talent?
When it comes to design or art, to the great extent, that's the talent is very, very important. That's a foundation, like some technical things we can teach, but when it comes to the design, the talent, what we're talking about is that taste, sophistication, and design maturity are very, very difficult. It cannot be teach. I don't know if any school in the world can teach you that with that talent appreciation, but it can be inspired. Over time, you know, refine taste, experience of life, you get different, you can actually refine it. But again, technical skill can be taught, but, you know, talent, to the great extent, is what you're born with.
Well, to what a degree does hard work play into the picture? Because I know that one of your quotes is, push yourself harder than ever and you will go to your dream. And I always ask myself, really, is this the best I can do? Which kind of speaks to a Spartan-like work ethic.
I always very demanding, especially on myself. I truly believe that no one will be asking you to do what, and your biggest enemy or your challenge is internal within you. You just never know what is the full potential inside to be a designer, to be someone constantly need to be creating new ideas. We need to break new grounds, new boundaries, and reinvent ourselves. Otherwise, you will, for example, recycle your ideas, repeating what you have done. I think that is kind of boring.
I think one of my favorite quotes is, only those who risk going too far will know how far they can go. And when you just mentioned, you know, creating new boundaries, what's your approach to that? And is it necessary to really push yourself to utter collapse, to right to the edge, in order to find out where those boundaries are?
You don't really know as you're approaching things. I think from different challenges, different projects, sometimes it might seem that you're struggling, but often those are the good time, a good potential, great things yet to be happen. As you're going through it, it could be painful at time, but obviously it could be extremely rewarding. We are coming through something, you know, pushing a new envelope.
I think one of my mentors said, you know, at the end of, you know, a period of years or a decade, when you look back on your memories, your fondest moments aren't those ones where you're lounging around on the beach and taking it easy. Your fondest memories are usually those days where you're lying exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. Is that true in your case?
Yes, to a great extent. And then you look back, you really feel the sense of accomplishment after all the struggle you've gone through. You thought it's the end of it, and then it's not going to. But, you know, just hold on longer. Keep trying. You'll be surprised the strength, the resilience in all of us.
I know there was one individual I was talking to, and he said, you know, if you want to achieve your goal, you have to remove everything in your life that's not related to the achievement of that goal, those individuals, those activities. Make sure that everything around you is focused towards that. You know, do you have to be that committed, that focused? And what's your approach to focus in the context of your career?
I think it all go back to the values and the things that my parents have shaped me. My mom used to be an athlete. She always say that when you set up a goal, just look forward. Don't get distracted by anything else. Your only one mission is go for it, push hard, go with full strength. And that's pretty much been my approach. I didn't, you know, focus or thinking of anything surrounded. When I have that mission, I think it's, as long as you just go forward, that's one thing you can do it.
But when you're going this extreme, do you ever feel overwhelmed? Do you ever feel exhausted? Do you ever wake up and say, well, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this day?
It won't be like a continuous, non-stop pushing to the limit every day. You know, there's a work-life balance, there's a relaxed moment, we have families. I don't think that someone is doing it day in and day out, it will be sustainable.
Right, but what's been kind of your darkest moment or one of those days where you really woke up and you said, wow, there's just not enough hours in the day to get through what I need to get through. I don't necessarily have all the skill sets I need to deal with some of these issues. How am I going to pull through? You know, what's been your darkest moment? How did you pull through it?
We just have to prioritize. Work smartly, not necessarily working any harder. That's a physical limit that you cannot just push. I think over time, with the experience we're gaining, every time we tackle a similar problem, we might accumulate the wisdom, and then a better way of approaching things will get us resolving the issue faster. And then when you come with really, really extreme difficulties, it's not necessarily your expertise, then really talk to the expert, working with a team. That's what designing car is all about. It's always a team effort.
So Chelsea, what does it take to get to the top of the design game? And, when I look at some of the champions, Michael Jordan says, I'm successful because I failed. Babe Ruth, although he had more home runs than any other baseball player of his time, struck out more than any other player as well. Einstein, thrown out of I don't know how many schools. I mean, most of the champions of our time, their backgrounds are liberally peppered with failure. What's been your relationship with failure as you've risen through the ranks?
We have to try not to be afraid of the failure. I think that all the experience just make us what we are, build us stronger. And especially when you come to design, often that great design, that something that is arise above the ordinary, are the one that out of the comfort zone. And we had to think, really stretching our imagination and try something we truly believe or we've not seen of today.
So naturally, when you try to push the limits, there's going to be this uncomfortableness. There's going to be this fear that I may fail. And that's the healthy aspect of a success story.
I think certainly the courage to try things and really explore, not to set yourself with a preconceived notion what you're limiting yourself could do.
This is Chelsea Lau, one of the top designers in the world, and she's the chief designer for the Ford Motor Company. She'll be sharing her secrets to success on the road to the top in just a minute.
Dubai I-103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of one of the top 40 women in the world, Chelsea Lau. She's the chief designer for Ford Motor Company. Chelsea, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Great.
And I understand, just for those of you joining us, Chelsea has always drawn to design. She was just naturally gravitate to drawing pictures and crayons as a child, artistically very strong. But she tempered that talent by developing her skill in some of the top schools in the world and ended up doing an internship in Detroit with the Ford Motor Company, which was the turning point for her career. And shortly after that, catapulted herself to the top of the auto design world. Chelsea, it's been an exciting road to the top for you. What has been, when you look back at your career to date, and of course I'm sure the best is still yet to come because you're quite young, but what has been the biggest challenge to date?
Yeah, actually, a couple of things. It was being a Chinese female in America. It's all new experience to me. And I noticed that back when in school, I often, sometimes the only female in my class or could be the only female in the whole transportation design organization, often feel that people will be looking at you and wondering, what are you doing here? Female girl designing cars, can you do it? All kinds of questioning, skepticism.
And I guess as well, because the Chinese are known for many things, but their cars are not one of them. So maybe it would have been different if you were Italian, maybe you could have been the granddaughter of, the owners of Ferrari. But so you felt that being Chinese and being a female in a American male-dominated auto industry was a hurdle.
Really, people think that they're questioning, they don't know how to respond or second-guessing, like, can you do it, or is this just for fun, for a short term? I think that over time, with different programs that I work on, experience that, and the talent people see in you, you're really trying hard, then they start to feel that, yes, we respect that, and really, she's here, she can do something. I think over time, that really changed her perspective. I do feel sometimes at the beginning the solitude and then people not purposely to isolate you, but it's just all human nature. You're in a group of all male student, schoolmates or co-worker. may have some to do with the communication skill. I'm not talking about the language. I'm talking about the value that that shape us. I'm brought up in a rather traditional way. We were taught at a young age that you don't look people directly in their eyes. That's disrespectful. But in the Western world, that is seen as weaknesses because you have no confidence. You're not sincere. And over year, I changed my behavior. And then also, we often are reserved to ourselves. We have an opinion. We keep it inside. I learned that in the Western world, when you have a good idea, you see an opportunity, you really need to express yourself, let people know that the great idea. And over time, I have changed all this. And I think that that's a better integration working in a Western country.
That's quite fascinating because it's such a true fact that if you're in a business meeting in the West, or especially, say, for example, in New York, and you do not look that person directly in the eye, immediately they think, if they don't think it's weakness, they would most likely also think you're dishonest, that you're lacking integrity or you're hiding something. And then for the Far East Asian, if I came to a meeting, I guess, in China and stare directly in the eyes, they would be offended and throw me out of the office. You're saying
not that extreme. I think things are changing, and then with the global, you know, the media or the connection westernized, and then nowadays I think people are used to it. Maybe, you know, younger people, that the sort of communication it changes. Yeah.
And I think now, as we enter into the global context of the world, you actually have to go, you know, when you're going to a meeting, you actually have to think about what's the nationality of this person, what's their background, how am I going to adjust my operating style in terms of interacting with this individual. I mean, I don't know if you think that's, you know, and they always say cultural agility is one of the big skills that will be needed in the 21st century.
Those are subtle things that you just make a person more accommodating, more welcome, they ease and comfortable, and then understanding the cultural differences, and try to, how do you go, draw back the uniqueness and also apply that to a design that has universal appeal. We are working with actually different parts of the organization around the world, very closely connected and listen and, tapping into all these insights.
What about, you know, when you first got to America, did you feel that the challenges of the culture? And I think once you drove across the entire country, right?
I did it several times. The first two times was because of the internship. I drove my first car. It is a secondhand, actually it's a Festiva, a small little car, really of lots of character. The third time I did that was when I started my work there all by myself. I removed the second row seat so that I put my own microwave and all the belongings with me, drove across the desert, climbing the mountain. I do remember the time that I could be running out of gas, and then there's a big truck behind me, so uphill, then I'm getting really slow with my manual shift, and then downhill is fast. Gliding. And after that moment, it was actually very, very physically demanding. In the 3 nights and 4 days trip, all by myself, this is really the first time. But that whole experience really turned me into, from a girl to a woman, if you like the metaphor, totally transforming myself. And I gained the confidence, feeling that from that moment onward, there's nothing else I cannot tackle. I have the confidence that I will try, I can achieve it.
This is the story of Chelsea Lau, the chief designer for Ford Motor Company. There'll be more on her secrets to success in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We're here with one of the world's greatest auto designers, Chelsea Lau. She's the chief designer for the Ford Motor Company. Chelsea, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Hi, everyone.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what are the main bottlenecks or challenges as you walk through the design process from the point where, you know, you have this vision in your head to the point where that car's, you know, we're actually driving it down Sheikh Zayed Road?
Yeah, actually, to develop a car is a very complex process. Let me simplify. We have several stages maybe to begin with, and we need to start from the customer. who are we designing the vehicle for? Often in our career that we are not doing a vehicle just for ourselves. We need to look at the very specific target customer set and what are the importance priorities for them and what is their lifestyle, life stages. With everything considered, then we understand their unmet needs, and then we then come up with some solution. To begin with, then we will do some design ideations, and then very soon we'll get into some scale models. Maybe we've gone through some market research to gauge on the overall direction, is that something resonate with the customer, and then we'll come back and further refine our themes, and we will have to work with a big cross-functional team. Design, the aesthetic is a very important part. We obviously need to have the engineering and then aerodynamics, ergonomics all working together, and also finance is critical. So overall that we might have challenges and difficulties sometimes seeing the differences. Everybody is expert of their field, and then they really want to be put the best effort in the vehicle. And sometimes we may run into differences, and that will be the case that we use, for example, a full-size model. We could, the clay model you see in any studio, we'll split the models, and then showing the side that, well, we feel excited about the best aesthetic when we come into design, the art form, designer, yeah, very, very expressive. And then you might have differences on the other hand. For example, the roof profile, the body size, sculpture shape need to be different. So we'll actually demonstrate them on two sides of the vehicle. Then we have the whole team looking at it, because most people, they're not designers. They have a little difficult time visualize that the product without seeing it. So this is the best way. Then everybody can look at the car. And often that people will understand the aesthetic importance and what the customers see. And then we, most of the time, we will win the battle.
Is that one of the failures of democracy or this kind of committee concept, that when you take, whether it's a car design or anything, and you walk it through a series of meetings and different phases, that you're actually watering down the original vision? You know, if I want to paint the wall white and you want to paint it black and we end up painting it gray, nobody's really happy. Is it best at some stage, you know, that in business, you know, this autocratic dictatorship or someone with a strong sense of direction is really the key to making that success?
When you come to car design, it's really about balancing everything. It's a piece of moving sculpture. You need to look very good, but at the same time, you need to function right, you need to be safe. So many, many things need to consider. In our case, that we have to protect the design intent all the way through the process, being the customer advocate. And we always need to push and protect best forward of the best, you know, design aesthetics.
Where are we when you look at the history of car design? It feels almost like we are in a bit of a slump, that, you know, the Kias and the Mercedes look the same, the Land Cruisers and the Patrols and all these cars. You don't really have that magic moment of the 50s and 60s where, you know, you could tell a car from 10 miles away exactly what make it was. They were, to many people, the magic moment of car design. In your take, what were the magic moments of car design? Where are we on that evolutionary trend, and what's your prediction for the future of car design?
That regulation and many things of safety come in place nowadays. They are different than before. To certain extents, that drive the constraint of vehicle design and limiting the certain look, there will be the aerodynamic requirement. But I think the challenge is that the customer are evolving. They're discerning. They want something different to express themselves. And that is the biggest challenge for all of us designers here, to come up with design that speak to them. And each brand have their own philosophy. And our vision is that to come up with design that have a soul and personality, that can truly connect to people personally and passionately.
So what's your favorite design within the Ford umbrella? And then what's your favorite design outside of Ford?
Always like Mustang, convertible, fantastic. Outside Ford, anything fast, low, super sporty.
So you've got a need for speed.
Definitely.
So that's interesting. And when you look at what's happening, I think it feels like there's almost a bit of an evolution break that we're coming up to. You can see some of the new BMWs, or you can see some of the new cars that, you know, 2020, 2025, that we're going to be looking at a radically different set of car designs. Or, I mean, because you're probably have the best vantage point for what's on the horizon.
Good design is really about getting to the good design principle, good proportion, and then it's always as in architecture, it's a frozen music. For us, it's the moving sculpture, and in terms of the proportion, need to be great, and aesthetically need to be something that is not trendy. Trendy will come in and out. We're talking about something that they are more timeless execution. And in the future, to say technology definitely is the key, and innovation. And that's what we are all about, Ford Motor Company, driving for that innovation.
A lot of people say that you have practicality and you have style, and you sacrifice practicality for increased style, as you know, we can sometimes see that with women's shoes and other elements. How true is that statement, and does it apply to the auto industry?
The best design is the one that perfectly blend the two into one, is not compromising, and that's make it more challenging. So, and sacrificing one, just getting the beauty but not the function, it is not acceptable.
So when we look back at the last decade, I mean, there was some great designs, but it really kind of seems to be slightly eclipsed by what we saw in the 1950s and 60s, where we had these beautiful designs. What's going on? Why does it seem like the auto design has maybe lost its swagger a little bit over the last half century?
Yeah, that's a golden period of time, the 50s, the 60s. It's really about a period of art, like making car like an art. And that's what actually inspired lots of designers, all of us, still looking at the good old days, the craft, the beautiful thing. Nowadays, the challenge really is with the different requirement, regulation, making the vehicle more safe, and that is a lot of like crash tests requirement, and it's making it very difficult and constrained to come up with something very innovative and different, and that makes our job as a designer, car designer, more difficult than ever. That on the one hand, we need to respect all this, constraint. On the other hand, we yet need to push for something that they are new, they are modern, innovative, and resonate with our evolving customer, their taste and expectation in all levels.
So today, you aren't just a designer. I mean, you're a leader of designers. I mean, you have a team of designers. What's that like? What's your approach, and how do you get a group of such unique individuals to fire all together in the same direction? What techniques do you use?
I see my role more like a orchestra, if you like, in a like music. To design a car is a great task. It requires total team effort. We might, for example, have a different designer working on an exterior, like you have somebody designing the front end, the side view, or the rear end. We also may have a different designer doing the inside. But the ultimate is that this vehicle need to be totally looking, integrate all together as one perfect piece, like a music. It's synchronized, it's unified. My job really there is to orchestrate all this effort. As you know, designer, we are very special individual. We have our strong opinion, and sometimes, people have different ego. The job is really to realize that if someone's idea, their theme was chosen, then they follow up. And there may be occasion that, a certain theme, a certain idea was picked. It wasn't this individual. But at that time, no matter what, the designer need to do their best, execute the design, protect the design intent, and doing their best to put it in the development. I think that the best design are the one that is seamlessly merging the technology, the innovation with aesthetic, and as if it's a whole piece of art starting from day one, created by one person. Ultimately, that's what should be put forward in front of the customer, and that's what they would appreciate.
How do you incentivize a group of designers? So it's not like sales where you have tangible results. You know, you're really looking at such a subjective field. How does the incentives, how does bonus work? What's your approach to it?
There's different, bonuses, but I feel incentive to me, that is the lowest means of reward.
Financial incentive,
yes.
You mean, is the lowest.
Lowest level. Means of reward. It's great, but I think ultimately what's most important is that we are here because of our passion to design cars. What's most important really is that to put something there we all love and passionate and care about is the best design. Someday when we look back, wow, we really accomplished a lot. We're making the mark in the history and we're doing something meaningful and resonate to the customer. That is more important than anything.
So you don't feel designers should get any financial bonus?
No. They should be rewarded, but I think that what truly motivates people, what is the gratification, is nothing more than creating together the great design that, make a mark.
Dubai i103.8, content that keeps you listening. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to one of the leading designers, car designers in the world, Chelsea Lau. She's the chief designer for Ford Motor Company. Chelsea, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Hello, everyone.
So, Chelsea, you aren't just a designer. I mean, you're leading a huge team of designers. What is it that makes a great designer? What is it you look for when you're hiring for your own team?
When I look for hiring, often we look at a few areas. Of course, the talent. The talent, in terms of really have the sensitivity, passion for doing car. Also, very importantly, we're looking for the personality. Is this person a team player? Because in our business, it's not about one person design a car. That's not possible. Always that is a team effort, able to work with a team setting, interact with cross-functional team.
So it's the communication skills are critical as well as the design skills.
Be a good designer, I think the communication skill is absolutely required because that have to help us to sell our idea and that can actually communicate a point stronger. Because something that about aesthetic is you need to be try to communicate it visually. That takes some really special skills.
There's kind of this feeling that, the great artists of our time or of past times are introverts, that they kind of work alone in their arts. Is this a paradox or is this a misnomer? Is the great artist an introvert? Or what you're saying is that the great artist has to have the people skills, has to have the interpersonal skills.
The introvert, there's somebody, they are very absolutely talented. They may choose a career path that they are not getting into management. They continue to be an expert what they are good at they're doing. But even for that, I think still require good communication. But for the one that definitely have the ambition what to continue to advance of being management, communication is essential. It's really the key to help us to get to resolve the problem, move forward with the project, and together be a better, more harmonious team working together.
So one is the communication skills. Two is the ambition or desire to better themselves, or what I call intellectual curiosity, that they're curious about building new skills and developing themselves. Are there any other key traits you look for when pulling in a top designer?
Speaking of curiosity, we are always curious. We're naturally trained with our eyes to look at the surrounding, observing the trend and looking at different things. I could be on vacation in a cafe, watching people, what are they wearing, how's the sense of style, their hair, and then taking all these things, not intentionally doing it, just naturally and building up our library. And then, when you come to design, that may be a stroke of genius. You applied it. It's not like contrived and you look for inspiration, you go out and look. It's just naturally you build in and enrich your, library.
Enrich your library nonstop. So
yes.
When you look back at your career path, what are some of the critical milestones that a designer has to pass through? I think first, you're managing yourself, then you're managing others, then at your stage you're managing a global enterprise. I mean, these are vastly different skill sets. What would you see as some of the key kind of gates that someone has to pass through as they rise to the top of the design world like you have?
I think that's different sense of management style. Personally, I always would like to cultivate a sense of family feeling in my team. I care for each of the members. I want them to feel like I really, you know, from my heart, I want them to succeed and I want them to achieve higher goals. And I think being a leader is important that we set up a role model. We, in a way that we're shaping our people's belief and behavior, they're looking upon us to see how we, you know, work or react. And it's very important that we have a strong vision, a clear message and clarity.
When you look back at your own career, one of the main things that I see as a real pillar of success, and I can see it whether I'm talking to a designer, a banker, a musician, an accountant, anyone who's risen to the top of their profession, is a focus. And, you know, you have been focused on design and focused on car design for over a decade. You know, you've been doing this is years and years and years. Do you think one of the biggest mistakes young people make is they shift, they're in one industry for 4 or 5 years, then they switch to another industry for 2 or 3 years, then they switch again? They're not really getting that depth that they need to become an expert, to become a guru, to really get the deep understanding of the industry, the product, the customer, and the industry.
To me, it's important to find out your passion. That's something that you truly believe you love to do. And that's what keeps you, your dedication and your focus. Without that, it's really hard to be dedicated a long period of time, your life into a specific career or, you know, the industry you are in. Understanding what you want, what you need, and focus and drive and be the best within it.
But you found your passion much later on. I mean, you weren't, as a child, dreaming of becoming a car designer. This hit you when you got to Detroit. At what point was it that you really found out and figured out this was your passion? And is it okay for, you know, someone who's still developing to have multiple visions?
My actual experience is that as I always were interested in art at a very young age, I see art and design are really the same origin, the common root. And I was lucky enough that, during my education in the U.S. that I have this internship. I'm very fortunate that, I went through the senior classroom seeing these walls full of beautiful car sketches you can imagine and a clay model. And then at that point, I feel like, wow, design can be so expressive and totally is an eye-opener. And that was a time that I feel like, yes, this is something that I really want to spend, you know, my energy and then focus on. It's okay for young people at the beginning. You might not certain or exactly know exactly what you wanted to do, but explore that. But very soon, you know, follow to your heart. You will somehow naturally lead you to a place that's something you like to do, that, you know, you have that interest, and then pursue it.
And the other big tenet from your story that I pull away is the tenacity. You know, you just continually press on, a persistence, commitment, and dedication. The tenacity without the passion is meaningless.
Passion is the fuel that will keeps you going. And, you know, that's what makes it sustainable. And when you love what you do, you really never worked one day in your life. That's what you love to do.
Well, if we are so lucky to find that, what's your advice to anyone who wants to find the next rung in their profession? I mean, maybe you could give advice for those who are just starting out, those mid-career, and maybe those who are a bit more mature. Maybe it's the deputy chief designer who just can't seem to break through. What would be your advice for those three groups?
Continuous improvement, looking at your, you know, areas of strength and weaknesses, and obviously, you know, further the area you're strong already, but the weaknesses may be the area you can further polish, and then it will make you all rounded, and then, you know, you can face any challenges.
So it's mostly just a continuous development and investment in your skill set.
It's a lifelong journey, I think, to self-improve and self-actualization, what I call. As for now, you know, because I love art and design, I continue to further the education. For example, I'm picking up a Chinese calligraphy. And then I like to travel, you know, travel is, could be part of that, going to museum, going to historic site, really building up my knowledge on anything. And that helped me actually inject that into my design, make it more depth.
But when I'm listening to you here and you talk about, okay, let's develop ourselves, and what I'm hearing is that you are developing in your strengths. And what I think that some people do as a mistake, they go and take a course, and they go and they try to make up for their weaknesses. And so they spend their time, they're an art person and they take an accounting class, and it's not going to work out for you. Do you need to focus on your strengths and be less concerned about your weaknesses?
I think each individual is different, but pick something that will work for you. For my case, that, you know, all the example I just pointed out, they are all art related. To me, it's just that will bring in a different depth of sophistication and level and appreciation that will further help me, you know, an even stronger foundation for me to pursue the area of art and design.
So what would be your final words as we head off here for any of our listeners?
Live and work passionately.
Thank you so much, Chelsea, for coming on, and we wish you much success in your future designs, and of course the world will be watching.
Thank you.
That's the story of Chelsea Lau, the chief designer for Ford Motor Company, giving you her secrets to success on the road to the top of the design world. Dubai.